take just a minute. Let me have your Bibles this morning. We are working on principles of Solomon, financial principles of Solomon. If you would notice, take your Bible and turn, if you would, to Psalm 62 and verse number 10. Psalm 62 and verse number 10. Now keep in mind, David and Solomon, he got a lot of his principles from his dad. And you'll notice that Psalm 62:10, I'm going to start with this one, and then we're going to go to a couple of others, because if you follow biblical principles, this will happen to you. Trust not in oppression and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. Now, riches will increase if you do the principles of Solomon. It's just the blessing of the Lord. Now, when we say riches, the riches are more than just finances. Take your Bible and turn to Ecclesiastes, if you would. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Notice, if you would, in verse number 3. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business. This is Ecclesiastes 5:3. So you fulfill a dream by your multitude of work. Work, diligence, planning, togetherness. We're going to get to that in a minute. But you'll notice in verse number 19, every dollar given to us is, notice verse 19, every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth. Now, riches and wealth, we look at wealth as an abundance of money, but riches are simply the ability to take care of yourself. It is the finances that God gives to us. It could be a $5 bill. It could be a $1,000 bill. Riches, those are all riches. And he says, if every man to whom God hath given riches and wealth and hath given him the power to eat thereof, in other words, the blessing of what God has given to you. Now, keep in mind, you develop a dream, and then you have business that you work at to get there. And then when God blesses your efforts, because anybody that works hard is going to go up in life. If you show up to work on time and you work hard and you've got a good spirit, you look at Daniel. Daniel went right to the top because of an excellent spirit. You look at Joseph. He went right to the top because every place he went, Potiphar's house, right to the top. It's not about you and I having all this money to start with. It's about you and I doing what we ought to do, dreaming a little bit for the Lord, and then doing our business, doing our effort, doing our diligence, and being faithful at what we know we can do. Now Solomon was a planner. We don't have time to go into it, but he planned financially for the building of the temple, and that's the best way we can see it. He gives all these principles in it. Don't borrow money for a bed, because they can take it away from you. And you got to understand, he's giving these principles of borrowing and don't be surety for somebody else. That's another pitfall that can steal away your money, because you've backed up someone else out of graciousness. And then another one is, take care of what you've got. Each thing that you get, take care of it. If you've got a nice vehicle, change the oil. Take care of it. Do your business. Do what you can do. Be diligent in the things you've got. Don't let your house grow up. And he pictures, as he's going down, he sees this beautiful home. It's got a rock wall behind it. The rock is broken down a little bit. There's vines growing up on it. He says, don't let it happen that way. He says, because riches are not forever. He said, you work at it, and in time it begins to add to your life. The Lord blesses diligence. Now, you'll notice, if you would, in chapter Ecclesiastes 5:20, he says, give him the power to eat thereof and to take his portion and to rejoice in his portion. We're to rejoice in what God's given to us. Part of the blessing of God is to be able to rejoice that you have a meal tomorrow, that you have a refrigerator that works. It's not that you have the one that you want. If people around the world, probably 75% of the people of the world were to look at the people in this room, maybe 80% would look at the people in this room and say, you're rich. But we don't look at it that way. And part of the reason is because we always have this vision, I want this thing or I want a little bit more. We're not satisfied with what God's given to us. You notice in verse number 5, the last phrase says, this is the gift of God. It is a gift of God for you to enjoy what you have. The gift of Satan is discontent. And you remember, if you would, this gift is you put yourself in the position of contentment. You learn how to be content, and God gives it to you. Remember, greediness, covetousness are natural. You and I have to fight against that. And the way we fight against that is we open up our palms and say, Lord, is this okay with you? You take your dreams and you lay them at the altar, but you must have dreams. Now, let me go back and just remind you of a couple things, and then we're going to get into the how-to, if I could. Number one, I want you to remember that you dream together. Amos 3:3 says, how can two agree? You've got to agree together. How can two walk together unless they be agreed? So you agree together on your dreams and goals. Everybody in this room ought to have dreams and goals. The Bible says you fulfill your dreams by the business, the efforts you put into it. So what are your dreams? Now, I want to take just a minute and let you see in just a second through the budget how you get there. Through planning how you get there. Well, number one, dream together. Number two, plan together. We're going to work on that in just a second. And number three, then learn to enjoy together. That's a big one. Learn to enjoy it together. What you have, not what you want. Learn to dream and then let those dreams be out there, palms up, and let the Lord provide your dreams. But you be happy. Paul said, I've learned in whatever state I am, therewith be content. Learn to be content with what you have. But still dream, but leave your dreams out there for the Lord. And so this is where I'm going to work. If that's not your will, then you change my dream in my heart. The Lord will do that. Now, let's go to the budget, if we could. I don't have time to go to all the planning that Solomon did and David did. But you could find places where David said, you know, I planned and I purposed and I prepared. For the temple. And so David said, out of my own goods, I've prepared gold and silver and all these different things. And you and I have to do the same thing. Now, I want to take just a minute. Let's go back up to the chart if we can. Okay? The chart. This is the chart. And I want you to see this. Can you bring me that, I didn't get that. The pointer. Notice number one at the bottom, the income. Everybody's got income. Okay? It's what you do with it that makes all the difference. Okay, if you just spend it however you like, you're not on a budget, you're going to accomplish some things in life, but you're dependent on more income. If you learn to do a budget, and it doesn't work. Okay, it's not working. All right, maybe you got to turn it on. Yeah, there we go. Okay. You can see the budget's in the middle. Now, I want you to see this in theory. Now, watch with me, if you will. Your income comes in. If it doesn't go in the budget, it's helter-skelter. You just put a little bit here, a little bit there. Your goals are at the top. You'll never reach the financial dreams and goals you have unless you just get a second job, you both work, you just blow it out with income. That's the only way you're going to get to your dreams. But if you have a budget, I want you to see how the common person, like you and I, can reach dreams we never thought attainable. Now, notice number one, your income goes into your budget, all of it. Okay? Now, from the budget goes to savings and to retirement and investments. Now, many people have their 401k taken out of their money before they get it. That's fine, but that must be a part of your budget. You want to plan with your budget your retirement, okay? How much you want to take out. Now, you should always take out what they match. If you're with a company that matches it, you should always take that much out. That's just a no-brainer. That's free money you get. Okay, now, watch this. Let's go back to the budget here if we can. Let me see that original budget. And now when you notice that line right there, savings, that's the key line in all of the, in every budget. Because it's the amount you have left over after you pay all your bills. Everybody has either got a positive or a negative right there. Now these people have $102 left. That means they're just barely making it. Susan and I built our first house, and the interest rate, and I hear people say, well, you know, the interest rate's high. I need to get a lower interest rate. I'm at 5 right now, or I'm at 4 right now. And both, if I get a lower interest rate, it really make a difference. You don't understand. Susan and I's first house we built, when I closed it out, it was at 18%. Try to buy your house at 18%. And we had $16 left right there. And I was a youth pastor. And said, Lord, you've got to help me make this work. I don't know how to live off $16. But we made it for that year, and then we refinanced. And I'm going to show you in just a minute. But that number right there, most people don't know what it is. And it changes from month to month. And so you're never going to know what you can dream and accomplish. You got to know that number. And that number is required. To know that number is teamwork. You both have to work together. If you've got a budget of $300 a month or $300 a week for food, whatever it might be, you've got to stick within that budget. You might say, well, I splurged this week. I got some ice cream. I got some of this. I got some of that. Okay, fine. What you did was you took money out of your future. And you have to have the discipline to say, I'm not going to do that. And the husband's got to say, well, the guys went out to lunch for whatever, and I went out to lunch. It cost me $20. And, you know, that comes out of there, and I only got $82 left. You can't do that. It takes teamwork together. Unless you just want to go out and try to make as much money as you can. If you were to get a job and you got a $40,000 increase because you got a promotion, most people blow that $40,000. But that number should go right there. And then your dreams become much more real. Now let's take just a minute. Let's start where we are now. Right now we got $102 left. We have very little to provide dreams with. Very little to provide college education with. Very little to provide anything for the future with. So you can make it from paycheck to paycheck, but something's got to change. Where's the hope? Okay? Now let's go back down, if you would, to the amortization slide. Okay, now I want you to see this here. I'm going to take just a minute. This is a very important slide that's here. Let's say you've got to go up one more, Brother Chase. Go up one more. You see, it's a $400,000 loan at 3.25%. Now I just picked a number. Right now, if you've got great credit and you've got a 30-year loan, you can get like a 15-year loan, you can get 2.2, 2.3 if you were to refinance. And so I picked a 30-year loan at 3.25%, and that's the payment on it, okay? Now, that doesn't include taxes and insurance. You understand that goes in an escrow account. Everybody understands that, whenever you get a loan, does anybody know why you have an escrow account, why the country started an escrow account, banks did? Anybody know why? Brother Joe? Pardon me? People didn't have the money to pay their taxes. You know why? They used that money in their budget or to spend. They were undisciplined. So the country, all of the mortgage companies said, we've got to have a way to help these people, so we'll take it out of their stuff and do it for them. So they pay it for them. Now, for years, I'd go find a loan. When we were building a house, I'd find a loan that didn't require an escrow payment. And I'd save it up myself, and I got the interest off of it. But there's not many of those that are out there. So what they do is they have an escrow account that covers the difference. Now, I don't know what that is, but for practical purposes, let's just go for the mortgage itself. Now, this mortgage is $1,741. All right? If in your budget you've got a mortgage of $1,741, you borrowed $400,000, maybe you put 10% down, that's $40,000. You put 5% down, that's $20,000. You put 3% down, that's $12,000. But you got into a house, and you're barely in, and you're paying $1,740 a month. then what's your future? Now let's go back to the budget first half. Okay, this number right here, let's go down to the bottom, all the way to the bottom. Fill it in for me if you could. This number here, 102, has got to go up. So how does it go up? Well, you can't change electricity, water, sewer, gas, a lot of those things. You can't change your health insurance. That's only going to go up. But what you can do is you see down here schooling, cable TV, entertainment, car payments. Those are things that you can adjust, okay? You can drive that car till the wheels fall off of it and say, I'm just going to maintain it. I'm going to do my business, maintain it very well. And now I'm going to try to get that $350 car payment, first one paid off, and I'm going to take that money and move it up there. Now I've got $452. Now I'm starting to make a little progress. Okay, that's one car payment. All right, now watch this. You got down here cable TV. Well, Pastor, you got to have that. What are the kids going to watch? Well, teach them to read a book. Or go out and throw a football, or go ride their bikes, or climb a tree. I mean, that's better than sitting down and watching movies and all kinds of things if you have to. But anyway, you got entertainment. That's going out to eat. Okay, don't go out to eat. Now, let me tell you a little story. I've told it before, but my mother, when I was in college, now I'm working in the summer times and borrowing on my car to get through college, and she's helping me best she could. So one year I come home from college in the summertime, and I and my home pastor came up to me and said, well, you know, you made it through another year. I said, I did. I'm very thankful for that. And he said, let me tell you something your mom did. He said, did you know your mom sends you money? I said, yeah. Every once in a while she sends me $5 and $10, and she was sending me a little bit of money. She said, take Susan out, and we're in school together, And he said, well, you know, she got that? I said, how? She cut meat out of her diet for her and your brother for a year. And she took all the meat budget and put it up there so she could send you money. I went, oh. That's discipline. Okay? So you go without entertainment. You don't go to McDonald's. You don't go out to the restaurants. You eat in-house. It's cheaper. Okay, now I'm up to $652. Now let's go back over, if you would. Now keep in mind, everybody in this room has got some of these that are discretionary. And you say, well, we got to do those. No, you don't. It depends on how important your dreams are. Okay, so that's why Susan and I never had that. We just buy an old car, older car, fix it up, buy a car and drive it. And our first new car was 33 years after we were married. But we agreed on that. So there was no debate. There was no her looking out. We took all of the dreams and desires of a new car and a new truck off the table and said, forget that. So it removed covetousness from our hearts. That's not something Pittmans can do. Because we have this other dream. Okay, now, let's go back to the amortization schedule. So I hope you can see this. Now, do you see that 1741? In order to knock 10 years off of my payments, in order to take 10 years off, I want to get $528 from someplace. Now, I still got a 30-year mortgage. It's still based upon 3.25%. But I want 10 years off of it. So I've saved up $528 by a car payment, my 102, and I've cut back on going out to eat as much. Maybe I cut it back to $100 instead of 200. And now I'm down to, I got 528. Okay? And you might say, oh, I'm dying. You both might say, I'm dying. Well, can you hold that till your next raise? Now that 528 reduces it to where in 5 years, this guy, if you just pay your payment, in 5 years, you're going to owe $357,000 of that $400,000 loan. You're going to pay off $43,000 of that loan in 5 years. Now, if you put that 528 on it, you're going to pay off another $55,000. Now you're going to have almost $80,000 in the bank in equity. Okay? And then if you said, now, I'm really, honey, let's you and I really go for it. So we get rid of the car payment. We get rid of both car payments. And let's go back up to the first half of the budget again. Let me show you how to get to that 1,070. Keep in mind, same budget, okay? We're going to get rid of this car payment. We're going to get rid of that car payment. And maybe it takes you 2 or 3 years to get there. It's okay. Just plan together. That's the key to it. It's planning. So you agree on this, and then you agree on cutting cable TV back to $75, and you agree to cut this back to $100. Now I got $175 here. I've got that makes it $450 here, and then I've got that's $800 plus that's $900. Now I'm at $900. What can I do? Okay, I got schooling here. Go down to the next half. It's going to take me a while, but I got to get rid of that Visa bill. So I get rid of the Visa bill in 2 years or 3 years, because keep in mind, maybe I have to take that money and pay off the Visa bill. And so I can only put $300 instead of $528 onto the mortgage extra, but I'm going to pay off the Visa bill so that I can finally get up to $1,070. Now, all I'm saying is you get rid of these bills and you never have them again. If you realize that right there, those two cards are 10 years off your mortgage. And that's what people don't realize. So now let's go back up, back to the amortization schedule again. Now, I want you to notice this. Let's go back to the next amortization schedule. Okay? So now I've gotten $528 a month. I've got it down to $322. Now I can go from a condo to a regular house because I've got $80,000 in equity. Now I got to take out the percentage from my realtor's fees to sell it, closing, but I still got $60,000. That's 10% of a single family home. So now watch this. But if I said I'm going to hold in this house for 5 years or 7 years or 10 years, and I got this $1,070, I get it to a 15-year loan. And that's what Susan and I worked at to get to a 15-year loan. Now, I want you to understand, every 15-year loan is always 0.5% lower than a 30-year mortgage, almost always. So you're going to save that 0.5%, and you're going to look at this. Now, in 15 years, if you started out, you've got $123,000 in equity in the same five-year period. Keep in mind, this is 5 years. So you can have $43,000, which if you take 6% of your realtor's fees of a $40,000 house and closing costs, that's $30,000 to sell and buy another one. So you've lost that $30,000. You don't have much to put down. So you can't move. If you go the 20-year, you can at least move and you put 5% down again. And you got a single family home. But then if you wanted to, right here, now keep in mind, this payment will go up, but it might go up that 528. But what you're doing is you're climbing the ladder. The goal is stay where you are for a while, get it down to a 15-year mortgage. Now, 15 years, if you stay that same place in 15 years, your house is paid for, and now you got the $1,741 left over. Now you can easily pay for college. But let's take just a minute. This includes no raises, no increases. And I would challenge anybody in this room, I bet all of you make more now than you did 15 years ago or 20 years ago. So inflation, all that, it's just going to go up. You have to learn how to discipline yourself with that budget. Now, let's say, for instance, you did this. That's all you did. You came up $528 and you paid your house off in 20 years. Okay? And you took the same money right there and you invested it for the next 10 years. 30-year mortgage, but I'm going to invest the money and I'm going to pay it off in 10 years and 20 years and take that 10 years and invest it for 10 years. The stock market, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, the Dow Jones, if you just invested in Dow Jones, in the last 122 years, the Dow Jones has averaged 5.42%. So you just put it in there and forgot about it for 10 years. You're going to have now a house paid for and $358,700 in a bank in the same 20 years as that guy next door has been buying new cars and buying this and buying that. You're burning your future. But if that's what you want to do, that's fine. But when you get to be 55, 60 years old and this guy is looking to retire in comfort, and this guy's willing to say, now I'm done. And now keep in mind, if you did this when you're 30, you're 60 years old, and you got this much money in the bank, your place paid for. And understand, I'm oversimplifying a lot of things, but this plan works. And it's exactly what the Lord has done for our church family. And we're getting ready to build this new building, and Lord willing, it's going to be close to paid for, and it's $35 million. Oh, man, what if we owed $1 million? Well, okay, big whoop. When you got $35 million, it's done with. All I'm trying to say to you, you got to have a plan, and you got to agree to the plan. Everybody here's got to agree to say, look, we're willing to move. We're willing to share the facility with somebody else for a year or two in order so we can move. There has to be teamwork together. There has to be dreams together. And that's where most people fail. They don't sit down and talk about what would be some of our dreams and some of our goals. Most people don't want to wait to take big family vacations. They don't want to wait to buy a nice big car. They don't want to wait to have a nice big house. And I understand that. But the bottom line is, if you don't put together a plan like this, you'll never have this money in the bank. You know what it's like if you invested another 5 years, it goes to almost $750,000 with the same dollars. So it's not like you got to make all this money. It's you have to be disciplined in your budget and say, that's all I'm going to do. Solomon took the opposite way. He said, I'm going to do my best to make as much money as I can, and he did. Do you remember whenever he went in with Hiram and said, I'm going to start a new yacht club and invested in the Navy, and God wrecked them all and they lost everything? He was always trying to find new ways to make money. And the Bible says he made silver like stones in Jerusalem. In other words, he made so much money, he didn't need a budget. But does anybody remember in the end what Rehoboam, his son, had to deal with? Anybody remember what his son had to deal with? The kingdom went up to his Rehoboam and said, look, your dad's dead and gone. We'll serve you forever if you'll lower our taxes a little bit. So Solomon figured out a way to tax people to get what he wanted. He didn't get it the right way. He asked for wisdom, and God gave him wisdom, and he gave him the wealth, but the wealth ruined his heart. And have your Bible turned to Ecclesiastes, if you would. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, and I want you to see exactly that, because he never let the Lord have his palms up. He just kept dreaming. He just kept wanting. In verse 9, this is Ecclesiastes 2:9. Don't forget this passage. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept from them. I withheld from my heart any joy. That is not what God wants you to do. And that is not what God gave him wisdom beyond words for, was to so that he could have his eyes receive everything that he saw. He stopped preparing and planning. He just put his emphasis upon the income. And many a man has wrecked his family by saying, I got to get this job and I got to have that job. And I'll work a little overtime and I'll get a little bit of this and I'll get a little bit of that. And they lose their children. Or he loses the sweetness of his marriage. He doesn't spend time with his wife. There's no master plan. Now, can somebody tell me this. Who's responsible for the master plan of every home? Brother Joe? The Father is. God holds us accountable. But God has it overall, and it's your job to figure out what God's master plan is. Lord, show me so that we can do this. And then you sit down and you talk it over with your wife and you say, honey, what are some things you would like to do and some things you dream about? And so you dream and work on it together. Susan never lived in a home that her parents owned. And one of her dreams was just, I'd love to just have her own house. And I remember the first house we bought, we didn't have any money, and I almost paid off the car, and I borrowed on the car. I changed it from a one-year We had 11 months left on it, and I went back and got a 2-year mortgage on it, 2-year loan on the car, knowing that was not a good thing, but the only way I could get money, and I got a down payment for the house, and I bought a house for $27,500, and she and I went in there and gutted that thing and straightened it all up, and we sold it a year later for $34,000 and got enough money, $7,500, to go buy our first lot. And every time I would say, honey, would you like to do this? She said, I'm all in. It was teamwork together. When we built the Watson Rhodes house, probably not many people knew it, but we were out there at 8 o'clock at night with lights staining our cabinets together. Nobody else in the house. We sat on the front porch looking out at all those trees and said, can you believe what God is doing for us? Can you believe how good he is to us? And I remember pulling her over and saying, honey, none of this is possible if we're not together. You're not with me. And we're not trying to do his will. So remember, togetherness makes, if you're together, you can dream together and you make it work. But you got to have dreams. You got to have business working at it. You got to have a plan. And you got to have that plan work. And this does work. It just depends on if you're willing to work it. Now go back to the budget. Okay? That number is the key. Now, I don't care if you use a digital budgetary plan or whatever it is, but I could ask you, what money do you have left over at the end of the month? What is your savings number? I call it savings. You can call it anything you want. But that number is the key, and you want to increase that number. And our church started out with a $5,100 mortgage payment on the first building that we built where the offices in the Fellowship Hall were. And as we grew, as our income increased, that number didn't stay the same, but we didn't spend the number. We didn't increase our budget. And that number went from 5,000 to 6 to 6,500 to 8 to 10 to 12 to 15. And then we were paying down on it. And then we needed to build the gym. But because we had been paying down on it, that number had kept going up for the church. Then what ended up happening is we kept the budget relatively the same. And we've done that for all these years. Now we've added staff, and we've added the things we've needed. And this building is the utilities are a little bit more and all that. But the Lord has blessed. And so now that line for us, for our church, that line right there is $35,000 a month. And that has allowed us to buy the land in Ashburn. It's allowed us to remodel this auditorium. These buildings have been paid for 15 years. Now, we owe $4.5 million on the land in Ashburn, but now it's worth $26 million. But you've got to, all of us dream together. We'd like to have a place where we've got parking in front of the church where people can drive up underneath an awning. How many of you like that? I mean, it's pouring down rain, driving up underneath an awning, and you let your wife out, and what, having to get an umbrella and all get wet? I mean, it'd be nice to park in front of the church and not behind the church. It'd be nice for that. So, but that's a dream. This works. We still have to serve the Lord right now. We don't wait till the Lord fulfills our dreams. You're faithful day by day, and God gives you the desires of your heart. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. A desire is a dream. You have to dream about things. Now, I want to take just a minute. Let's go back to the original 5-star thing, whatever that is. Up above this. Yep. So your income comes in, goes into the budget. Once you get your savings number up to where you're paying off your house early, and then you get a little bit extra on top of that, maybe you pay off that second car, you have the choice. What do you do when you get to a 15-year mortgage? Well, at that point in time, you can either reduce it to a 10, or you can start investments and retirements. You can start it earlier. You can take that money, instead of $2,200 a month, you can put back, if you put back, I think it's $500 a month for 30 years, you have $600,000. So it doesn't take much, but that would be part of your investments or retirement. Now, you take money out of your retirement because that's tax deductible. Investments are not. So you learn to work the tax situation. You may need a little help with that, but that's okay. You can borrow brains. You don't have to know everything. Nobody knows everything, but you can borrow brains from people. I want to take just a minute. Once you get close, you get starting to reach some of your personal financial goals, you have to be very careful not to let you made it. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. We learn to live like this. Because if you don't, the Solomon syndrome will happen to you. You have to protect your heart. Now, I want to take just a minute. I've got a few minutes. Any questions real quick? If there's not, that's fine. Yes, sir.
Can you tithe based on
gross pay. If you have your Bible, turn, if you would, to Proverbs 3. And I want you to see this. I'm glad you brought that up. You notice Proverbs 3. His question was, did I tithe off of gross or net? In other words, did I tithe off of what my income was from the government, what I received? Now, the reason it's not net is because that's after they take out your income taxes. And by the way, how many of you receive benefits for your income taxes? How many of you ever driven on the roads in Uganda? I mean, potholes as big as your truck. Well, we don't have that. We got potholes, but they're not as big as your truck. You've got bridges to drive over. You've got roads to drive on. I mean, we have 911 that you can call and they'll come get you. You don't have any of that. Papua New Guinea, you don't have that in a lot of good countries. We do get benefits for our taxes. And Social Security, you get benefit for that. Retire 65. Nothing else, you got Medicare. That's priceless. Okay? But then, so you ought to pay tithe on that because you get benefit from that. But then what happens if you put down and take out a 401k and you take 3% out for that? Well, that's money you're putting back. That's money you've earned. So notice this, if you would. Now, I'll settle it for you is the great question. Proverbs 3, you settle it for yourself. Notice, if you would, in verse number 9, he said, verse number 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Now, when you acknowledge someone when you're good to them, whenever you speak to them. So notice verse 9. This is acknowledging the Lord. Honor the Lord with thy substance. Okay, now if it just stopped right there, it would be open-ended. You could give 3%, 1%, give whatever you wanted. But notice he says, and with the first fruits of all thine what? Increase. So when every time Susan and I sold a house, if we sold a house that we'd built and we made $150,000 on it, we tithe $15,000 of the church because that was increase. Now, it prevented us from doing some other things we wanted to do in the new house, but it was still increase. And it's like, you can't outgive me, so then I'd buy a lot for half price. And so I'd say, Lord, how did you do that? Well, remember that $15,000? But that was only $15,000. You gave me $150,000. And the Lord says, I love you. So the Lord is better to us than we deserve. But you tithe off of your increase. Yes, you tithe off every piece you get. Now, tithing is simply 10%. And the Lord says, you rob me when you don't give me your tithe. That's something. And the tithe forces a little bit of discipline. That's what you don't understand. It's sort of God's beginning salvo to get our attention and say, you can't live off every nickel. Give me 10%. When you learn to give the Lord 10%, you're having to budget yourself to get that 10%. And that 10% is off the very top. I don't take money for doing a funeral from anybody here. Now, if they call me from the funeral home and say, we got a family that died, they don't have any church home, that funeral home always takes money from the people to pay the pastor for doing it. So I'll take it and give some to the pianist, and then I'll pay tithe on that. Might be $100, might be $200. But I don't take money for doing funerals for anybody here, period. I don't take money for weddings. But if it's somebody that's outside and they didn't live right, well, they can pay for the service because that's okay. I'm okay with that. However, that's increase. So you pay tithe on it. I used to pay for all the birthday money I got. But I don't know that that's really increased. That's a gift. So I stopped doing that. But whenever we would sell a house and I'd make money, 100, 200, 300,000 bucks, because, you know, it increased in value. And that's up to you to figure out what it is. Sometimes that was a struggle for me, trying to figure out how much do I owe the Lord. So it always just rounded up, because he always rounds up. So, increase. Yes, off you grow. Somebody else, another question real quick. Got about 2 minutes. Anybody else? Great question. Could I just challenge you to do this? Be together on what you do and have some dreams. Dream a little bit. Dream a little bit. Have a desire to be good to the Lord. Have a desire when you die to leave something to the Lord. I want to do that. Like I said, working for BIMI, and a few months back, a year or two back, a single lady died and left BIMI $300,000 or $400,000. They were able to fix up some of the buildings, give out money to the missionaries, give bonuses to all the missionaries. Nothing wrong with that. You're laying up treasure in heaven. It's not about getting all you can and keeping all you got. It's about, Lord, I want to be good to you, because he'll be better to you than you deserve. Simple things. I hope it makes sense. If it doesn't, call me. Be glad to help you with it. Like I said, the largest deficit I've ever seen is 44 debtors, 44 bills. It took 2 legal sheets to write all the bills out. And in 1 year, they had that down to 8 by doing the snowball effect, by paying off this one, and you're taking that money and putting it on this one, taking off that money, putting it on this one. But they had to get to that 102. How much money do we have left? We don't have anything left. Well, we've got to start saving money. So they finally figured out a way to get to 0. And then they said, now we'll pay off this bill. Now it went to $100, $200, $400, $600, $800. And they started dumping that money on all these other bills. And in 1 year, they cut off 36 bills that they had. So all I'm saying is that, now, by the way, that person has filed bankruptcy twice. Because if you don't learn to discipline yourself, bankruptcy is the only choice. Because you're going to end up spending more than you can have. I don't know if you heard about it or not, but Jack Clark, he was a first baseman for the St. Louis Cardinals, the first man to get $1 million salary, filed bankruptcy a few years later, for years after that. And then you've got men like one of the first basemen of the New York Mets, Bobby Bonilla. Anybody heard of Bobby Bonilla? You know what he did? He said, put mine off and pay me later. And Jeremy, doesn't he get $1 million a year every? Yeah, for the next 15 years. He just put it off and he gets $1 million on a certain day. It's called Bonilla Day. And he gets it. And so all I'm saying to you is be smart. Don't take everything you have and spend it all. Because the Lord didn't give you that, give it to you for that. When riches increase, set not your heart upon them. Don't look at things and say, whatever my eyes desired, that I got. Because you'll never have anything unless you're Solomon. And you'll never get to keep it and have the joy of it, no matter who you are. Because enjoying what you've got is a gift of God. And you want God's blessing on how you spend your money. And then he'll give you the gift of enjoying what you have. Father, would you help our people, dear Lord? Help us to learn the principles that Solomon knew, taught, but didn't follow. Lord, protect us that money does not get to our heart. In your name we pray. Amen.